The Vietnam War, it's over.
Your job just begun.
A new HBO original limited series.
Welcome to the world of Spycraft. Strap in.
From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr.
What are you concealing?
Based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel by Viet Thanh Nguyen.
What if I told you that I was a communist spy?
How did you become this?
The Sympathizer, streaming April 14th on Max. Subscription required.
Hi, I'm T2, and I support Gen X Grown Up through Patreon because they're super gentle to my wires and boards. I think you should, too. Go to patreon.com/GenXGrownUp.
No life, no fun. Don't you know that you're a grown-up?
Gen X Grown Up is a YouTube channel, website, and audio podcast you're listening to right now. All made for and by people who love exploring media, games, tech, and toys of yesterday and today through the eyes of Gen Xers who refuse to grow up.
Your dinner cannot just be french fries. Basically, life sucks as a grown-up.
Welcome back, Gen X Grown Up Podcast listeners, to this backtrack edition of the Gen X Grown Up Podcast. I am John. Joining me, as always, is Mo.
Hey, everybody.
And you know that George is here.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
As a kid, what could have been better than a new toy and a tasty snack? Well, how about a new toy for free with your tasty snack? In this episode, we're remembering all those cool toy surprises that were packed into the food we pestered our parents to buy. And there are so many of these to cover that George, Mo, and I could not do it by ourselves. So I've welcomed my friend Will from the Adiots podcast. Will, how you doing?
I'm good. Hey, guys. And I'm surviving. You know, I had a lot of those toys and cereal boxes, and I don't have cancer from eating them, which is, you know, I think my mother's
that's always good.
From eating the toys?
Wow. Yes. Yes.
Wow.
Stay tuned.
They were very explicit back then.
I guess that choking hazard was real. Will just swallowed right? Every one of them. He never even saw it.
I don't have cancer. I didn't choke. So there, Kellogg's, take that.
What do you mean there's a whistle? We have a lot of these to cover, and in fact, initially our concept was, hey, remember Cracker Jacks? And I don't think the toys or prizes are in there anymore. And as we started to flesh this out, there are so many toys that came in boxes and on boxes and packed around and printed on, or you could mail away for. So this entire show, we're going to be remembering all of these ways that you could get some food, but also get some toys or prizes or gadgets or things that you can play with. And I am ready to get started. Will, you ready to kick this off?
Let's do it.
George?
Sure, why not?
Mo, are you any more excited than George or just about the same?
I'm excited as long as we put food in quotes when we talk about it.
Okay, fair enough. All right.
Honesty in advertising.
We'll kick it off right after this break. Over the past few weeks, we've been trying out Factor Meals, and they're meals that come straight to your door. They deliver them to you in the mail. They drop on the front door in this freezer pack, and it's a great way to eat stress-free. And this spring, you can get delicious, ready-to-eat meals. They're fresh, never frozen, chef-crafted, and dietitian-approved. And here's the cool thing, as we've all found out. You throw them in the microwave for 2 minutes, and they're ready to eat and not even requiring cleanup.
And if you can't find something on their menu that you like, then you're just way too picky.
Mm-hmm.
Because they have over 35 options. Mm. You know, they have things like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, Vegan, Veggie, and we even tried the vegetarian one, which was really good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not just the regular meals, but they've also got all these add-on packs, which I really love. These are things like, you know, breakfast or on-the-go lunches or little snacks, even like beverages that want to help you stay fueled and feel good all day long.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So really, I mean, like they say on their site, what are you waiting for? And they're not kidding. You can get started today and fuel up for your springtime goals by heading over to Factor.
Get chef-prepared meals on the table in 2 minutes with Factor's ready-to-eat meals so you can get back to doing what you love this spring.
Are you looking for good gourmet meals? Try the meals that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, truffle butter, broccolini, and asparagus.
Factor meals eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, or cleaning up. Simply heat and savor the good stuff.
Customize your weekly meals with the flexibility to get as much or as little as you need. Pause or reschedule deliveries to suit your lifestyle.
Factor is your solution for fast, premium meals without the need for cooking.
We're celebrating Earth Day all month long. Look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for lowest carbon footprint meals.
So head to factormeals.com/GenX50 and use code GenX50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code GenX50 at factormeals.com/GenX50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
pebbles with new Incrediberry Purple.
I'm the Purple Phantom. Give me fruity pebbles. The body is doomed.
Here, you fiend.
Mm, powerful purple-licious taste.
Mint.
Power to the purple.
Oh, fruity pebble cereal with new Incrediberry Purple. Part of this complete breakfast. Now, only from Pebbles. A dinosaur of a different color.
Mine turned green. Mine turned purple.
Wow. Four color-changing dinosaurs. One free at each month box of Pebble cereal.
To get the ball rolling, so many of these we are going to talk about, as we said, are toy prizes that you got along with the food. But as we were preparing, we realized, you know, there are a lot of toys where the food was the prize. It was the reverse. Not the least of which, you've got to start with the Snoopy snow cone machine.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
They tasted horrible, by the way.
Well, it wasn't the snow cone machine's fault that they tasted bad. That was the syrup, really.
Right, right.
But if I remember right, you took ice and you put it in the chimney of his doghouse.
Yeah.
And then you pushed the chimney apparatus down.
Have the flue open.
Right. And then it shaved the ice and it came out of the round dog hole in the front, which...
The dog hole.
I know, exactly, like that. Right? which was what always... like, we would go and your friends would be like, look, I got a Snoopy snow cone machine, and they'd be pushing the ice through it and that would be just... falling out of the front of it, you'd be like, I don't know if I really want to eat that, but then it's snow cones, so you got to eat snow cones, don't you? It's, you know,
right.
It's mandatory.
You know, I probably made snow cones about 3 times with the Snoopy snow cone machine, and then I just made crushed ice, and then I just made a puddle. And then I'm like, why am I wasting time? I can just drink this syrup, you know?
Most efficient way. Yeah. I wanted a Snoopy snow cone machine, but my dad just handed me a hammer.
Well, there you go.
Here's a hammer, and here's some Aunt Jemima. Just mix those together. That's syrup. You're win. Done.
Syrup. This is the way we did it when I was a kid.
In my day, right.
Maple flavored snow cone. I don't think I've ever had that before.
It's artisanal. It's
one of the reasons I thought I wanted these. Maybe it was in the commercial that it seemed like you could be a little entrepreneur and you'd be selling it on the street. I don't remember if that was in the commercial.
Yeah. That's right. It was like the new lemonade stand for kids in our generation, wasn't it?
Mm-mm. Yeah, that didn't work. That would not work. All. No.
Yeah. I mean, especially since it took like 5 hours to make a single snow cone. So right. Really.
And your product is melting.
The business model really didn't work.
Kids getting mad. I put my order in 2 hours ago, man. Where's my cherry? Come on.
You're getting a terrible Yelp review.
Right.
I'm going to McDonald's.
And I'm here in Florida. I'm on the curb in Florida, and it's 100 degrees outside, and I don't have ice and snow cone machine. What I have is syrup and a bucket of water. That's all I've got, so I'm not really doing anything out there.
And a rusty chimney?
What? Now, there was also Mr. Frosty, which was pretty much the same thing, wasn't it? It was still shaved ice.
It was basically the same apparatus. It was just now the snow cone came out of his belly, I think, if I remember right, instead of out of the dog hole.
That's better than a dog hole. I'll definitely take the... Yeah.
I mean, they had all sorts. I mean, even I bought my daughter like a Hello Kitty snow cone machine for some strange reason, which I still think is...
I don't want to know where that ice came from.
Oh.
You know, I don't know if he ever even opened it, to be quite honest.
Really?
I think it's still in my cabinet somewhere in the kitchen. Just
comes with the optional cat litter tray to catch the ice.
Just sitting there, you know, waiting to make snow cones one day, I guess.
It sounds like with the Mr. Frosty, you were eating out of his colostomy, maybe?
Ooh.
Yeah.
Just a port on his stomach.
Will, it's been nice having you on the show. It's too bad you got to go.
Nice to meet you guys.
Click.
Take care.
Maybe the biggest toy that made food that we cannot not mention is the Easy Bake Oven. Now, that was typically like a girl's toy, I'm using air quotes, but every time I had a friend who was a girl and I visited their house, I loved the Easy Bake Oven.
Yeah, I mean, as long as I got some cakes or something out of it, I was happy with it. I didn't ever own one or use one, but I did have the neighborhood girl that was always hanging around with the guys. She had an Easy Bake Oven, and we would all go to her house after the snow cone fiasco and like, hey, we need some palate cleansers. Yeah. Can you make us some cupcakes or something? Yeah, sure. Yeah, oh man. And it was fine. It was just a really super hot light bulb that
it was
cooked
just
everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It was.
I think it was a 40 watt light bulb. You know, I wanted to say, I think John started this segment by trying to show off that he knew girls.
Yeah, that didn't work out well at all.
Like, you know, humble brag. I had a friend who was a girl. That's right. I did.
The whole podcast has just been a ruse to lead up to how John could show off he knew girls when he was a kid. Years of planning.
I'm so proud.
And we still don't believe him.
Hey, Hey, now. Really, just it was a metal box with a light bulb in it, like you said. But invariably, I did not have the patience to wait for whatever cake they made. So what I normally had from Easy Bake Oven was a warm chocolate slurry that I would eat with a spoon out of this little pan. It never finished cooking.
Nothing with the word slurry is good, dude.
Yeah.
And you were complaining about the Snoopy snow cone machine? Really?
It didn't come out of a dog hole, at least. It was handed out of
nothing. Looked like what came out of a dog hole when you got done.
That's true. Yeah.
So I'd say when my daughter was like 6 or something like that, you know, we had a big Christmas, and she literally got 4 Easy Bake Ovens for Christmas. So you see how good my family is communication. That's one.
Yeah.
So I was like, what do we do with the rest of them? And she's like, well, we can give them to other kids. I'm like, oh, I feel like I'm a good parent.
And what you should have done was harvested all of the cake mix out of it, because that was the most expensive part. That was one of those models where they, you know, like a razor, you give away the razor and sell the blades. Right. Easy Bake Oven was cheap, but the refills, if you want to make more brownies or more cake than the one that came in it, get your wallet out.
Yeah, the people who developed that were the same people who developed printers and ink later on.
Mm-hmm. Same deal. Yep. Yeah.
John, you seem to suspiciously know a lot about these Easy Bake Ovens, I must say.
Listen, I had a lot of friends who were girls. I did it! I finally gorked it into the podcast!
I'll say, when you mentioned when we were kids, you know, it was something that was marketed towards girls, but I know in the last few years, they made like a boys version, which is like hammered aluminum or something, you know, and racing stripes.
You don't make cake, you make something else. I don't know what, but...
It's a micro brew.
Yeah. Right.
Can you even buy a replacement light bulb for it anymore? Because they have all the, like, the LED ones that take like 20 years to cook a cake.
Right. It's going to take a while to get you now. Now you got to go to them for the light bulb. That's how they get you.
Maybe step two is place the cake in a microwave now.
Right. Right. You got all this done? Put it in the LED. Give it to your mom to put in the real oven and then put it back in the oven. There you go. There's one more I want to talk about before we get out of these toys that made food. And this is one that I had when I was very, very young. It was in the maybe mid-70s, mid to late 70s, you might have remembered there was a thing called creepy crawlers where you could make rubber toys with this kind of like a molten syrup you would put in there. But later they turned that into this thing called Incredible Edibles that had kind of the same molds. They were like spiders and bugs and fish and whatever. And they had this other little syrup called gobbledygook, okay, that you put in here. And you made basically gummies. It was like making gummy worms and stuff. Did you ever have one of these or see it?
No.
Nope, not at all.
I didn't have one, but I did want one. I remember when I was a kid.
Oh, yeah?
I remember wanting one probably like around 8 or 9 years old when I first saw them, probably on a commercial or something. I wanted one, but never had one. None of my friends had one, so we missed out.
I always thought about how dangerous it must be to have the molds where you could make either rubber toys or gummy worms in the same, like you have both of those toys, what hilarity could ensue.
Generally, I don't like eating imitation versions of things I wouldn't otherwise eat the real version of. So I wasn't interested in eating a scorpion in real life or a worm. So
yeah, so why?
It seemed distasteful.
Like, you look cool. You're like, I'm eating a bug. Ha ha ha. I went in that way, but you're just eating candy. So I liked it. That's some of the toys we remember that made food. But when we get back from this next break, we're going to dig into what's probably the mother load of food and toy combinations, and that is the cereal boxes. We'll do that right after this break.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
It's yum yum fun that is cool and clean, and its name is the Snoopy Snow Cone Machine. You put ice cubes in and get a snow cone out.
This is fun.
Yum yum fun is what it's all about.
Some assembly required, and you mix the punch flavor.
It's yummy, Snoopy.
It's yum yum fun that is cool and clean.
Snoopy Snow Cone Machine comes with everything you see here from Hasbro.
Before we get into like the motherload, there's like a subset of the cereal box toys that we should talk about, which is the things that were actually on the box, not in the box, but on the box.
Gotcha. All right.
Like the mail away stuff that I never did and always wanted to.
Oh, I definitely did. Right. Like, send in like 12 proofs of purchase and box tops along with 1995 or whatever
that
it was.
I was terrible with that.
I think one of my favorite topics in that area, though, were always the t-shirts or jerseys.
Okay.
I hated Wheaties the cereal. That's an awful damn M cereal, but they had the coolest sports jerseys that you could send away for. They always had famous athletes like hockey or basketball or whatever. Those jerseys were something I always wanted, and I never, ever got a single one because they were always too expensive for my parents to see, justify me sending something off that we may never get back. They were like $12 to $20. I mean, they weren't cheap at that point.
I find it hard to believe that you didn't get a jersey. You were the most spoiled kid that I know.
I know. Wow. Spoiled? How the hell was I spoiled? Jesus.
Okay. Now, Will, I know that you're just a visitor here, but it's fair that you know that George's mom would make him pork chops in a cooler for him to take
to school. What
the hell
does that have to do with sending off something to get a jersey from a cereal box?
Wait, because
we had a grocery store and we had free meat. We didn't have a lot of money.
The cooler you'd bring to school, is that what you're saying? You'd have raw pork in a cooler?
Not raw pork. She would cook the pork chop in the morning.
I see.
Put it in a small igloo lunchbox container thing, and I would take it to school, and I would microwave it to warm it up, and I would eat it. And
with
that's
a tablecloth
perfectly normal,
and
Will.
Truffles,
and if you don't like it, you can get the hell out of this pocket.
And a candelabra. It was wonderful.
It was great. A little flower, a little rose that he would put
I'm
going to
take that candelabra and do something with it for you.
I think what's really happening, George, is the rest of us are realizing our mother didn't love us.
That's basically what it is.
Thank you. That's probably exactly right.
You know, I never sent off for a t-shirt or a jersey, but I'm sure I sent off for a couple of things. Now, at this point, I can't remember what the thing was, but it's the experience that I remember of, okay, I'm collecting these box tops and I've got a Ziploc bag where I'm putting them in there as I get new cereal boxes. And then finally I have enough and you send away for it. And it's how long? Always.
4 to 6
Four
weeks.
To six yeah. damn
four to six
weeks.
Yeah.
Forever. Mm-hmm. Forever. Yeah. So by the time you get it, it's like, oh my God, I forgot this was even a thing I was waiting for. And it was like a present to your future self of a stupid, a metal toy that you didn't play with more than 5 minutes.
I just re-experienced that this year when we bought my son's senior class ring and football Letterman's jacket. Those things took forever to get. It was like, I got his jacket in like 2 days ago. And I was like, what the hell is this? I'm opening up. I didn't order anything on Amazon recently. What is this? Giant freaking jacket. I'm like, the thing from the cereal box. That's what I sent off for.
To this day, I still have something I sent away for.
Really?
Oh, what? It was a Frosted Flakes iron-on transfer.
Oh, wow.
Oh, you had to send off for the iron-on? Wow. Huh.
That's what I recall. Yeah. I believe the letter, I have a letter that came with it. I was an unusual child who I think just liked to get mail. You know, maybe it was like John with girls. I wanted to pretend like I had friends or correspondents.
Hey, wait a minute.
And my prison pen pal had stopped writing me back.
Oh, wow. That's sad.
Yeah, I have this. It's just like Tony the Tiger, but I've never used it. So it was almost, it almost seems like maybe I just wanted to have it and not necessarily use it. I don't know.
No, I definitely get that.
That's awesome. Yeah, well, did you still have it is cool. And it, you never, how you resisted ironing it on some, you know, some V-neck t-shirt that your mom got you from Woolworths is unbelievable. And it's still pristine. At this point, it's probably worth the money, probably a dollar or two.
Yeah, at least. So the problem we had in my family is that my parents were like, one, they rarely bought the sugar cereals.
Right.
Like for us, it was always like cornflakes.
Yep.
But when they did, it wasn't consistent enough to send away. So all I need is 8 box tops. And I've had 6 for like 8 months.
And now the offer's over. Damn it.
And the offer's over. Yeah, exactly.
There were also some things, though, that you didn't have to send off for that count as on the box, I would say, as rather than inside the box. And that would be things like cutouts. Specifically, I remember the mask that you would get. John, I know one of your favorite cereals was Count Chocula.
That's right.
And they always, especially around Halloween, they would put those little dotted lines on the back of the box, and you knew what that meant. There's my Halloween costume. There we go.
I had a full set of monster cereal masks.
Did
I
you?
Had Fruit Brute. I had Boo Berry. I had Count Chocula. I had Frankenberry. You do. You cut them out of the back, and the eye holes you can never get right, so they're kind of gouged because you got to get those. And then you have a rubber band that's way too tight for your head, and you put that on the sides. And then you put them on and it looks like you've been compressed inside of a Frankenberry vice inside. But it was free. It was a free toy that came with my cereal. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it was almost instant gratification because the only problem was you couldn't cut it off the back of the box until you had finished the cereal because you were afraid that the little bag inside would rip and everything would spill out. Your mother.
I'm willing to bet that John has a workaround for this.
Oh, yeah. I worked that out.
That I didn't doubt.
I talked my mom into buying Tupperware that we could transfer the cereal into the Tupperware so I can go ahead and get the box.
Who's spoiled now? You getting extra cereal containers? I didn't get that.
I was a little spoiled too. That's fair. That's fair.
Did any of you guys ever get a record off of a box? I know that I have a vague memory of getting one and then my dad refusing to let me try to play it on his turntable because he didn't want to damage his stylus.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah, that was my experience.
Not only did I get one, I still have mine.
Ooh, that's right.
Yeah. Spooky stories.
That's right. You've talked about that before. Yeah, the spooky story. How have we not yet captured the spooky stories record and given it to our patrons? We absolutely should do that.
I got to go find it somewhere.
Oh, it's somewhere. Probably buried somewhere with Will's iron on, so we'll find it eventually.
Well, how did it work?
It was just a plastic overlay on the back of the box. You would cut it out, and it was almost always a square.
Right.
Which always made it cool because it's not the same shape as a normal record.
Now I remember.
Vaguely the shape of a 45.
Right.
You put it on your little record player after you cut it out, and the little plastic film that was sitting on top of the cardboard was where the ridged parts were. And that's what would transfer the sound. Mm. It sounded terrible.
Yep. Oh, they were awful sound quality. But it was a free record.
But it was awesome.
Yeah.
The spooky stories were great.
I've heard a few samples of them online, where of course the internet is great because somewhere someone is a fanatic about something and that you want to hear about and they've captured it. And I've heard a few of those. They're all so innocuous and it's just like, hey kids, we're gonna check out what's going on with Booberry today, and like boo, and it's not exciting. If you had bought it as a toy and paid for it, awful. If you got it for free on a cereal box, best thing in the world.
Yeah, absolutely. Of the stuff that you would cut off of boxes, you got masks and you got little puzzles maybe that you would draw on the outside of boxes or something like that. These were by far the Cadillac of cut off the box prizes from cereal back then.
Oh, I think so.
See, the ones I really liked though was the ones that you kind of were cut off, but then you fold them up to make something.
Oh, right. Yeah, like make a little car or make a little figure or something.
Christmas, they invariably had like a sled with the Fruit Loops toucan on it or something.
Mm-hmm. Oh, right. Yes.
Right. Or a board game on the back of the box and you cut out the little pieces and you could play a board game with a spinner and everything. I had one of those too.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Thank you, Toucan Sam.
We tried that, but the games usually were horrible. And they're all just like one big advertisement. Like,
yeah, it was Candyland. There was
nothing. You're on Space 3. Go eat more cereal, you know?
Right. Eat more
cereal. Tell your mom to send us $5. Here's the address.
Exactly.
Right. Oh, go back two spaces.
Your parents are awful if they don't buy you this, you know?
All the outside of the box stuff was really awesome. I think it was some of the best parts of cereal because what attracted you to want to buy the cereal in the first place was what was on the box. So it was either, you know, an advertisement for what was in the box or the actual things that you could do. I remember I had friends that were devious little bastards. I would never do this, but they would go to the store cut them up in the store when nobody was looking and take them.
Wow.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
Now that definitely, that sounds like George projecting something he did on someone
else.
That was
not
really
me.
Does to me.
Yeah. No.
There was just a recent story. I'm trying to think of what it was. It was Cinnamon Toast Crunch, I think, and similar cereals from that same brand are giving, this is like within the last couple of weeks, giving away a PlayStation 5 and a news story where kids were going, presumably kids, it could be adults, cutting or ripping open the boxes in stores to see if they had the code inside to get the PlayStation.
Oh,
wow.
And just abandoning the cereals on the shelves.
I could totally see that.
Not cool, dude. Poor Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
You've got questions, we've got answers. Business leadership, ownership, and sales can be challenging. Tune into the Accelerate Your Business Growth podcast to learn from the world's experts. Join me, your host, Diane Helbig, as I chat with people who have expertise in various areas of business. You'll enjoy the lively conversations that are focused on providing you with the ideas, tips, and suggestions you need to realize greater success. Get what you need for your business when you need it from the people who have the answers. Accelerate Your Business Growth is part of the Evergreen Podcast Network and is available on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
And that was for all the kids at Central High. And kids, if you enjoy good music and good cereal, here's an offer you won't want to miss. Now you can get all the Monkey's greatest hits free on Post Alphabets, Honeycombs, and Frosted Rice Crinkles. Let's listen.
Monkey.
12 great songs, 4 on Alphabets, 4 on Honeycombs, 4 on New Rice Crinkles. One song free on each box. The Monkey's greatest hits, free from those music lovers at Post. And now for Judy and Paul, Sam and Pat, Sol and Eddie.
Gentlemen, we've talked about stuff that was on the box and stuff you had to send away to get, but now it's time to get into the smorgasbord of surprise toys when it comes to food products, and that is cereal toys that were inside the box.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I think I'm going to kick it off with one of the ones that I remember the most, because my mother absolutely hated this toy that came in the box, and yet she continued to buy me that cereal as long as they had them in it, and that were the glow-in-the-dark wacky wall walkers. Oh, these were these wacky rubber sticky things.
Oh, yeah.
You would hold them under a light for a while, then you would turn off the lights, which would piss your parents off as soon as you did that. Like, what are you turning the lights off for? I'm trying to do this or that. And then you take them and just hurl them as hard as you could at the wall. And they would slowly peel off and roll down. Now, they only did that one time successfully. After that, it was just smack them, and they would either bounce off the wall completely or they would just stick in place. The whole rolling thing was a one-time thing, and that was about it.
Wasn't it kind of like a little octopus, sort of? Was
they had same, different was that the same ones. One you had? There was an octopus. Yeah. There was a scorpion-looking one. And you know, just different shapes, but they were all creature-esque, I would say.
I had a deal with my mom. When I threw it against the wall once, and she's like, okay, that's not going to happen again. So what it worked out was...
Done.
It was the sliding glass door. That was the safe space for Wacky Wall Walker.
That's a glass is a good surface, yeah.
Yeah, it was great. Now, if you cleaned it up good, it was that weird rubbery, sticky stuff that kind of rejuvenated it, and you throw it against it, and it would work its way down the thing, and you do that three or four times and go back and play, and then later, there was like a slug trail down the sliding glass door where I didn't clean it up afterwards, and she'd wipe down the glass, and then I could play with it again later.
Yeah, I remember it would go down, like George was saying, it would make it down, if it made it down the wall, once it hit the floor, it's covered in, you know,
exactly,
hair
whatever was on the floor.
Dirt and,
You're right. You could clean it with dish detergent. I remember they said somehow rejuvenated it, but it had like a shelf life or half life.
Yeah.
You know, like every time you use it.
Yeah,
I was thinking George's mom was like, turn the lights on. I'm making pork chops.
Yeah, she was.
Exactly.
I can't see if it's pink inside.
I gotta get your lunch ready, damn it.
That's right.
These things got to cook for 45 minutes.
I have to ask, did anyone have like a special technique for getting the prize out of the cereal box before you ate down to it?
Oh, yeah.
You know, John had like 27 Tupperware containers, so
mine is easy. Yep, I just dumped it in the Tupperware and exposed the toy. It was really easy. As an only child, it's really easy.
Oh, see, I had brothers. So
you
I
had brothers. That was your technique. Yeah, they were just, everybody was going for it. Whoever got the scoop was the one who got the prize, I'm guessing.
No, it was a cage match, let me tell you. It was because, you know, if my dad was around, then it was almost like a subversive kind of cage match where it's like we pass the cereal box around and then you're trying to pour it out just so the prize would come out when you're pouring.
Like you were playing hot seat or something where you walk around the chair.
Was. It was like, and then if you didn't get it, pretty soon your bowl's like overflowing because you're trying to do this.
I'm that hungry, Dad.
You made sure you got the biggest bowl from the cupboard before you sat down for breakfast that morning.
I'm ready. Punch bowl and a gallon of milk. I'm ready to go.
I was a master of getting the prize out before you even consumed any cereal. You know, I did the technique where you kind of pushed it open. You pushed it on the sides and it popped open kind of like a vinyl record, you know, sleeve would. Mm-hmm. It opens up like a big mouth and then you just start to shaking. And once you can get the cereal, there's so much air in those bags. You can get the cereal down to a thin layer of cereal without getting it to spill out and reveal the prize. And that's when you work your little hand down in there and retrieve it. One of the things that's unusual for me to have gotten excited about getting in cereal boxes was sports trading cards. I was not into sports. Mm-hmm. My dad wasn't into sports. But again, it's kind of like with the Frosted Flake Iron-On. It was more about getting it, you know? So I remember getting baseball and I think maybe even football. It was kind of early 80s. They came out with this new technology of having like, I think what they called like 3D or holographic cards.
Oh, yeah.
That they had in some of the... I didn't know who any of these characters any of these players were, but I wanted those. I coveted those cards.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, I remember the first time I got a Johnny Bench trading card. That was the thing because I was a catcher in baseball, and Johnny Bench was the guy back in the 70s. So I was like, oh, Johnny Bench. And I got like, I think I ended up with like three or four of them at some point and traded them all away for different things. But
well, he was huge. Remember, he was on that TV show. So I think he was like one of the few players I knew because he was on that TV show. He would teach like life lessons to kids through sports somehow. Do you remember that? I can't remember what it was called.
Yes, I do remember that now. Yeah. I think he even taught him some baseball techniques on the show or something. Yeah. Yep.
The baseball bunch. I just peeked. That's what it is.
Yeah,
it
was
baseball bunch. Wow. Yep,
there we go.
It was like a Saturday morning kind of thing where like 11:30 would come on.
Those things were awesome.
After the good cartoons.
Yeah, right.
Well, depending on what year you're talking about.
True. Yeah. Yeah. Dungeons and Dragons came on at some point around 11 or 11:30. That was like the last one for me.
Yeah.
Then it was lunchtime.
And see, cartoons and cereal and prizes, that all goes together.
I was thinking that a lot for me because I was thinking about the toys that I mostly had were driven. This is not, I'm not saying anything that would surprise you. It was driven by the cereal that you liked, right? I wouldn't hunt down cereal based on toys. My mom would, I guess my mom was ranking low pretty here. But yeah, I didn't get pork chops. She did let me have sugar cereal. I don't know if they let me throw a wacky Wall Walker more than once. But so I loved Fruity Pebbles. So I had collected a ton of Fruity Pebbles toys just by the nature of the fact that I loved that cereal. So whatever toy they had would be the one I'd wound up getting.
Yeah, see, makes sense. Always chased the toy more than the cereal. As long as it was a cereal I could tolerate. Because I even went Wheaties, remember? And that was...
Yeah. Which is shredded cardboard, basically. Yeah, that's not...
Yeah, it was terrible.
It's an empty box. Inside it says, eat the box.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Exactly.
It was always about the toy chase for me more than it was the cereal.
Really? You know, I kind of align a little bit more with Will because I had told you that I loved, we did a, God, how long did we do the backtrack about cereal specifically? And I told you my favorite was, you guys remember the name of my favorite cereal?
Oh, geez. You made it's funny? That really long name.
That's the one.
Oh.
Grins and Smiles and Giggles and Laughs. That was my favorite cereal.
Wow.
And they had magnets in there. The toy you'd get in Grins and Smiles and Giggles and Laughs, there needs to be a shorter way to say that, was magnets of all of those characters that you would get. And because I liked the cereal, I liked the toys and I wanted all the magnets. Yeah.
For me, it was things like, all right, so one I remember, Sugar Smacks. It wasn't my favorite cereal in the world. Didn't really like it that much.
Okay.
But at one point in the 70s, they had Star Trek badges, like little pins. Not the communicator badge, but like a little circle pin with Kirk and Spock and McCoy and those kinds of things.
Got it.
I love Star Trek. Couldn't watch it very often because, like I've said in the past, my father, we had one TV and it was Dad's TV on Star Trek day, so didn't get a chance to watch it that often, but... Star Trek badges were those little pins, man. I wanted every single one of them. I think I got two, maybe. I think I got a Kirk and a McCoy, but I didn't like that cereal that much, but I wanted those badges, so I kept trying.
So often these toys I think I would get, and I loved getting it. I'm like, this is the coolest thing ever, and about 14 minutes later, it's sitting in the corner, and I never looked at it again. It was the getting of it. But one thing I did actually play with is, I gotta know what cereal it was the mini Frisbee, maybe like four inches in diameter.
Mm-hmm. They didn't fly very well.
They were difficult. They were so small, but there were probably two or three different cereals that produced those. I know Flintstones had it.
Did they? Yeah. It was like a sticker on the top of whatever brand it was, some generic Frisbee they had. But I remember I actually had that Frisbee. It was always on top of my toy chest and I always threw it around and I would repurpose it. Oh, this is a UFO in this scenario I'm playing with. Or, oh, this is the dog bowl for, you know, G.I. Joe's.
For your snow cone from Snoopy.
Right, to clean up my snow cones. It could be. That was what I always enjoyed, actually.
It was. I used to love, still to this day, my favorite cereal was Captain Crunch.
Okay. Yep.
Right.
I love Captain Crunch. And when we got it, like I said, it was like a huge treat. But every now and then they would have these rubber band racers. Do you remember those?
Right.
Put together. You had to find a rubber band that fit just so. For some reason, it never came with one. And then you just like wind it up and let the thing fly.
The rubber band racers. Yeah.
I could go for hours with that sucker. Mm. You know, if you had two, then man, you were just there. Then you could race them.
Now, I remember, speaking about, Fruity Pebbles, again, was one of my favorite cereals. So a lot of the things I got were things I used, like you're saying, John. One of the things I would think was most sort of curious about something that came with a cereal was the Fruity Pebbles toothbrush holder. Oh. So you think it's this over-sugary cereal that you're getting, and it comes with something a dentist would provide in their office. But it was pretty cool because it was the different characters like Barney or Fred, and they had their hand sort of molded in a little grip that your toothbrush could fit in it and rest in there. And I had that thing in our family bathroom holding my toothbrush, which, of course, after having the cereal, my mother would insist I went and brushed my teeth. So maybe that was
please go right away. Promptly.
I can see your teeth corroding as you eat. So please go now.
Right. Yep.
Flintstones, the Fruity Pebbles cereal, they were a huge purveyor of toys. They probably have like 20 or 30 of the different things I looked up when I was doing research for this episode. They used to have these little things that were pivot point toys, I guess is what I would call them now. But you would get them together and they were in pieces. And you'd have to put them together. And then they formed that little grid-like structure that when you squeezed the backside of it, it would extend out, and when you opened it up, it would pull back a little bit more.
Like an accordion grabber thing?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And Flintstones had one that was a rock grabber.
Rock grabber, right.
And grab little pebbles and pull it up, because it was, you know, from him digging at the rock pit, you know.
Down at the quarry. Right. That makes sense. Yeah. And you would use it to dig some cereal out of the box a couple of times, and, and then it broke.
Then it broke,
Now, Will, since you were a big fan of Fruity Pebbles, I got to ask, did you ever get one of those little coin purse things?
Oh my gosh, yes. Yep, I did. I had at least two. The one I remember the most was the Dino one, and it was, you know, the shape of their face, and then the back of it sort of had a little opening where you could stick, you know, a few coins in there, and pretty much it. I don't know that I had any coins, just like the racer didn't come with the rubber band.
He'd spin it all mailing away for his iron on.
Yeah, and they were that weird hard kind of plastic. It wasn't like a rubber ball plastic.
It was a thick plastic,
You'd squeeze the top and bottom of the cut, and that would pop it open.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
It was like a mouth opening.
Well, it was the back of the head, but
Right.
Mostly, I would think I would just breathe into it, like kind of like doing like a Whippet or something, you know, because that plastic from China.
Because it had that rubbery smell from the mold.
Yep.
And then go to elementary school like that.
It's like when you get a fresh Sharpie. Yeah.
You take the magic marker then and color the inside of it to get the extra high whenever you get used to the plastic.
Oh my goodness.
This isn't enough kick now. I need this.
Don't try this at home, kids.
I put some Molly glue inside of it.
Now I'm thinking the snow cone, you know, selling the snow cones on the street is just the front. Really, what you have the kids come up with a snow cone
Whip it.
For an extra 25 cents to get to breathe into your George's marker. Dino.
Oh my goodness.
There you go.
I remember I had a lot of Sugar Bear bike reflectors on the spokes of my bikes. You remember those?
Oh, yes.
Yes, absolutely. And when you were a kid of that age during our era, your bike was everything. We've talked about that in other episodes.
That was my car.
Your bike
yeah.
was your freedom and everything.
Right.
So
it was.
Accessorizing that bike in any way, shape, or form that you could, that was gold. And now you get it for free with cereal that you like? Holy hell, that's awesome.
One of the things that always kind of like, okay, so I'm the city boy here, I guess, of this group, because they had these things like the bike reflectors and like, oh, come dig in your yard with this toy. And I'm like, you know, don't they need kids live in cities too and need different toys? Because those are like totally
Were
pointless.
You whining about that? Or are you mad?
Well, yeah,
because
you get a thing, you're like, oh, I got a bike reflector, but I don't really have a bike to ride. So
bike in New York City would have been awesome, I would think, right? You go further, you go around the block, all that stuff.
Too crowded.
Nowhere to ride. I mean, I had one when I got older.
It's either in the street and get hit or pedestrians. Yeah.
There really wasn't much sidewalk to ride on. And if you did, there's somebody who's basically could get pissed off.
So kids in New York City didn't have bikes, and they had to share cereal with 15 brothers and pour giant bowls to try and get prizes, is what I'm hearing. I don't think New York City was a great place to grow up as a kid.
It has moments.
We're running out of sympathy for you. I'm sorry. That's okay.
I'm looking for any.
Another cereal that I thought tasted like shaved cardboard, but I loved because of cool toys, was Alpha Bits. They always had some of the coolest things in there. Do you remember a thing they had that was like a printer or a code thing? Anybody ever get one of those?
No, I'm not familiar with that
You know, first of all, I disagree entirely about the taste. I loved Alpha Bits.
Okay.
They were like frosted cardboard. I mean, they were
frosted cardboard.
Totally different.
Right. And I like to say that Alpha Bits was the cereal for the intellectual child.
They were educational because you could,
it was letters.
You could spell out the word shit in your cereal.
Hey,
that's what I did with my alphabets.
I was just actually, it's funny you say that, John, because I was just going to ask you guys if there's any prize you coveted and never got, because Alphabets was a cereal that had the one thing, and I ate a lot of Alphabets. I don't recall ever getting that. They called it the pocket printer. It was really like an embosser, but
that's
that was
what
the
was
one
called.
Thing
yeah.
I wanted, and I don't recall ever getting.
Mm.
I never got one of those either, but Alphabets wasn't a cereal. I looked at its box enough to know what toys were in it.
Mm. It had like the letters on it, like you squished the paper between them, right? It was just making the letters.
Yep.
I think for sure I got one, but it didn't leave a lasting impression. So it must have been, I made letters. Moving on. Where's my bike reflector, I think?
The pocket printer also didn't leave a lasting impression on the paper, which was one of the problems with the design.
Right.
That's probably it. Yeah.
A few seconds later, you couldn't read it.
If you had one of those now, it'd be worth a fortune, though.
Well, sure. Here's something that I want to go find on eBay. This was one, you know, Will, you said things that we coveted that we always wanted but never got. There was a brand of cereal, and I can't remember which one off the top of my head now, but they had what they called mini computers.
What?
Yeah, now what these were essentially just calculators with maybe one other little baked in pseudo PDA function or something like a trivia game maybe or things like that. They were very basic, but they called them mini computers. And this was during, you know, the early 80s when all that stuff was getting hugely popular with home computers and PCs like the Commodore 64 we've talked about in the past, things like that. I never got one of those. I always, always wanted one.
It doesn't even ring a bell to me, but now I'm like, you're right. Like where's eBay? You got to look that up now. That sounds like too much toy for a cereal box almost.
I'm looking it up now because it's driving me nuts. I'm trying to remember what cereal it was in.
I don't remember the mini computer, but I think Alphabet, you remind me, Alphabet's had a, I think it was like, they called it a calculator. And what it was kind of like the printer in a sense that it was like this strip of plastic where you'd have a piece of paper in. But unlike the printer where you could feed your own paper in and press the letters, it had like a plastic that only revealed certain sections of a chart that they provided. So you could sort of slide it through the plastic device to reveal certain numbers. So 2 + 2 = 4. It was something like that. And I think they called it a calculator.
Well, and that's essentially what they mainly were. They were just really pocket calculators with one other little function, like I was saying. I think another toy that I always wanted, and this one I actually did get, was the Kellogg's Starbots. Do you guys remember these Transformer Starbots knockoff things that came in cereal?
Oh, the robot guys.
Yeah, I could afford Transformers, like before my parents would go out and buy, you know, Optimus Prime or Megatron or any of the others.
Pork chops.
Because those were fairly expensive at that point. Shut up with your pork chops. You damn city boy who can't ride a bike.
Hey, ooh.
Anyway, the Starbots were Kellogg's answer to the Transformers phenomenon at that time. And they had 5 or maybe 6 different ones, and they would come in different colors to add variety to it, but it was really just 5 different figures or so. And it was always fun for me to try and get those little toys at that time, because for me, the thing I enjoyed the most about Transformers, even though I didn't have any right then, were trying to move them into the different things that they could become. Yeah. That was not always easy. And these Starbots were even worse, because the plastic, you know, the manufacturing wasn't great on these things, obviously.
It would rather bend that actually shape into what you wanted. They're flexible almost.
Like, I know this arm moves down and you couldn't get it to move down because some other piece was blocking it or something. So it was a little frustrating, but I wanted every single one of those.
You know, there's one that I got to make sure we cover as talking in cereal here, because it was probably one of my favorite ones to have, or place to play with at least. I talked about that I would throw them away and not look at them again. Remember the baking soda submarine?
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
It is actually, technically, I think it's baking powder. I always get that wrong, but it's a baking something submarine. It's one of those that it was a little sub, and it just through science, right? You would put the whatever the thing, the baking soda or powder, whatever it was, in there. And then as it chemical reaction with the water created oxygen, and it would rise to the top. It would vent that oxygen, then it would sink to the bottom because it was heavy. I had one of those sitting on the edge of the bathtub for probably my entire, until I was 12 or so, that I would play with in there, even without the baking powder or baking soda.
Yeah, I could never get them to work. And I'm now thinking it's because I probably got the baking soda, baking powder thing wrong.
I was going to mix up too. I did too.
You know, I was like, it's not working, you know, because I just saw the word baking and assumed I had the right thing.
He stuck it in the baking oven.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I don't. I remember them, didn't have them. But you know, you're talking about something that you used, you know, you had it ready and available. For me, again, it's going to sound like there was only one cereal I ate. And by the way, there's a there's a donut shop in my town that makes they make their own donuts, and they put vanilla glaze on it and they cover it in Fruity Pebbles. I get that every week. That's favorite donut by far. So still. Fruity Pebbles, I got to say, another one of the things I had and actually used, unlike some of the other stuff that I just wanted to have, was the Fruity Pebbles, I guess what you call like an ice mold or a popsicle mold.
Oh, really?
It was sort of like, again, most of the things were like shaped like the characters. So I think this was like their faces. So you could have like a Barney face, or I think it came with a plastic sort of a holder that you'd put in it, and then you'd fill it. I don't think it was two sides of a mold. I think it was just one. So the tricky thing about this, which would really drive my, well, yeah, the inset, you know, you could pour into it. The thing that really drove my mom crazy is, you know, I'd pour some juice into it, and then as a child, trying to gently get it into the freezer without spilling it everywhere. Inevitably, this would try, I'd have to try like 2 or 3 times before having, you know, orange juice frozen at the bottom of the freezer. But again, I don't know if it tapped into my sort of wanting to be an entrepreneur or just be independent as a kid, but that was something I used all the time, you know? I don't need mom to go to the store and buy me popsicles. I'll just use the orange juice she bought at the store and make my own.
I'm looking at some of them right here, and they are the coolest looking little things. There's the Barney one. He's yellow. I mean, they got an orange one and a blue one in the pouch here on this thing, but those are awesome. They even, like, so is that a mammoth?
Woolly mammoth,
They probably did more of them over the years as they went. But yeah, those
are more for you
cool
to collect, Will. You got to hit up eBay and finish your collection of ice molds and Fruity Pebbles.
Greetings from Evergreen Podcasts. We're rolling out a listener survey, and we want to hear from you. The information in the survey will help us gather statistics and in turn make our shows more appealing to advertisers. I know most people don't like ads, but this is one of the only ways our shows make money and help keep their lights on. We promise it will only take a few minutes, but the impact on our podcasts will be tremendous. As a token of our appreciation, we'll randomly select one lucky participant each month to win an exclusive merchandise package from Evergreen Podcasts. Head to evergreenpodcast.com/listener survey to help a show and possibly get some free stuff for doing so. We can't thank you enough for the support. Now back to the show.
Kellogg's Apple Jacks, made with real apples. An apple-y sweet part of this complete breakfast.
Fun to eat and Kellogg's Apple Jacks.
Coming at you free, your own wacky wall walker. It tumbles and crawls down walls and even glows in the dark. It's wacky and free in Apple Jacks.
We have covered toys that make food. We have covered toys on the food boxes. We've covered toys in the food boxes. But the absolute gold standard, at least for me when I was a kid, was Cracker Jack with a free toy surprise inside. When I first thought about this topic for a podcast, I'm like, oh, well, you know, I can talk about the fact that they used to be great prizes and now they're bad prizes. And then I found out in reading that since 2016, there has not been a toy in Cracker Jack at all.
Rip.
Period. Yep.
I mean, you might as well just eat Crunch and Munch now, because it's better tasting than Cracker Jack.
Right, exactly right. They started in 1912 putting out Cracker Jack. Jeez. And right from Jump Street, they had a toy surprise inside.
Of course.
And there's a graph of time, like as we go forward in time, that the quality of toy goes down just absolutely in parallel with that. It's just the later in time you got, the worse the toys got. In 1997, they changed them from toy prizes to prize inside, because Frito-Lay bought them. And then it was just a pamphlet with like jokes and riddles. It wasn't even really a toy. It was garbage.
It was just a little paper thing, and you would tear the edge of it off. Yeah, I remember that.
Oh, man. I just, do you remember getting like Cracker Jacks? It was the same, like you were talking, Will. You would rip open the top and you would kind of do the Mr. Mouth with it kind of juggle around the stuff to find a little plastic sleeve inside so you could rip open and get that toy. And it was a plastic thing. It was garbage, but it was a free toy with a snack. So,
John, did you otherwise enjoy Cracker Jacks? I just kind of remember. Did anybody eat the nuts in Cracker Jacks? I just remember eating the popcorn and eating around anything that might be healthy.
I like the nuts. The nuts were the part I liked better than the popcorn. Oh. Yeah.
Do they still have the peanuts in them?
They do.
I would guess.
Where's the song? It was, you know, popcorn, caramel, peanuts, and a prize. There was that little song. Oh, yeah. Will, you and I should have been next door neighbors. You could have eaten the popcorn. I could eat the peanuts. That was the part I liked, actually.
Will, I wish you lived next door to me so I could eat the nuts. What the hell was that?
Easy now. Easy now. Watch out for your dog hole, everybody. George is in town.
it sounds like a 70s commercial. We then bump into each other with our popcorn and nuts, and a whole new food is created.
That's right, a whole new Reese's food is created. Cup. It's the Reese's cup, right? Mm-hmm.
You got near nuts in my popcorn.
The death knell for the toy and Cracker Jacks, though, 2013, it turned into, hold on now, is it in the box? Is it on the box? A QR code printed on the inside of the box. You scan for a stupid mobile game.
So you got to cut apart the box to be able to scan the QR code for some lame mobile game.
That's
advertising.
It.
Yeah.
That's what became of the toy surprise inside the Cracker Jacks. Until 2016, they phased that out,
too. Let's be modern and hip and cool.
They phased that out, too.
Let's put a QR code on the box. The kids will love that. Kids are like, nah.
I think that's the same for cereals now, though, too, isn't it? Because, we do treat our children to some sugary cereals every now and then. I think I've only ever scanned codes. I don't think there's toys in cereal either.
That's sad.
That's a rip. That's terrible.
That's too bad, yeah. I feel like we should probably pour out a bottle of Snoopy Snow Cone syrup in memory of the toy surprise inside of Cracker Jacks.
One for the homies.
Yeah. That's right.
John, just to make you feel a little bit better, there is a group out there that covets Cracker Jack prizes as much as you do. There is a website that I found in doing the research, Cracker Jack Collectors Association.
Of course. Well, did I just say there's a website where everywhere? There,
it's just like, remember when we did the promotional glasses podcast?
Yeah.
That group that did that. Well, a very similar style of group. And you can tell both web pages were probably made by the same web designer in 1984 because they are absolutely those old like GeoCities kind of websites or something like that. Yep. But, and it's not very functional. but it's got some interesting notes on it, and you can apparently join the association, and maybe you get.
And I can imagine a gallery of toys. Yeah, maybe pictures of little toys that I have thrown away in my years.
I tried to look through the different decades of toys because I wanted to find a lot of toys in Cracker Jacks, and maybe it's if you join. But right now, when I went to go click on the links, all you get is the when you click a link, you just get the image blown up. It doesn't take you into another page. So I'm guessing that's behind some kind of paywall or something. But it doesn't even mention the paywall, which is why it's a very well-run website. But
you would never know.
So the one prize you seek on the Cracker Jack website is also gone now, too.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. Yep. No kidding. Yeah. I think I read the most coveted, well, in terms of value anyway, a prize they ever gave away in Cracker Jacks was they had trading cards, like we talked about from Serial, and they had a Ty Cobb Cracker Jack ball player trading card.
Wow. Oh, man.
Sold at auction, $350,000.
Wow. Yeah, that doesn't surprise me.
No, it doesn't me either.
I mean, when you start looking at the Honus Wagner, the Ty Cobbs, the rarity of some of those cards from the early days of baseball.
Yeah.
Before we leave this last segment in food prizes and toys, I think let's do one of our roundtables where what is your favorite toy that you remember having, whether you used it or not, or you coveted it or not, that you remember finding or getting or enjoying out of a food package? Will, let's start with you. Which one do you recall most fondly?
Yeah, and this is going back to, this was my mail away. Hopefully that counts. And I'm going to see my Tony the Tiger Iron-On because something about it that had me keep it all these years and keep it safe. Mm, and maybe I will iron it on one day, although I imagine as soon as I unfold it, it'll just turn to dust. But I never used it, but something about it made it continue to be valuable to me, you know, what, 40 years later.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
That's awesome.
George, how about you? Favorite you remember?
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to list this one as my favorite only because it's the one that I attempted to use the most and from the widest variety of places. And that were tattoos. I got them in Cracker Jacks. I got them in cereal boxes, got them everywhere. And I don't know why. And to this day, I don't have a single tattoo on my body. I don't want a permanent one. But those little get them wet kind of tattoo things that you would jam on your skin to make
them slide the backing off once they were all wet thing. Yeah.
And transfer the terrible ink over to your hand. And of course, you know, being a boy with hairy arms.
I'm sure it's totally safe too.
Wasn't great for, you know, didn't turn out that well, but I love those tattoos. Every time I would get those, I tried to use them. Some of the other toys you get and you keep, or maybe you play with for a little while, but tattoos, man, I was all over those things.
Was it? The one I remember most fondly that I wouldn't even talk about here yet, but I just kind of remember it as we were thinking of what's the best. And it's one that I always used a little bit, even more so than the little Frisbee I talked about. I think it was in Honeycomb. They had this, like a little periscope that you could, there was two little mirrors in it.
Right.
And you could like look around the corner, but not really because it was only about 2 inches long.
Right.
It was weird to look in. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah.
It was such a neat little thing that, like, I'm a spy or, like, you know, it's a secret agent. It, because it was mirrors and it changed your perception, it's kind of like the magic of a kaleidoscope, right? It's like when I look through it, it's not what I expect to see. It's around a corner and it kind of looks wavy and stuff. But yeah, I think that little periscopy thing was mine. Mo, how about you? Favorite one you remember?
Oh, that has to be, like, the rubber band cars because it was one of the few that actually worked.
Right.
You know?
Cool.
And I just remember just spending hours and hours just racing these things up and down, you know, the hallway and driving my parents crazy, especially when they stepped on them.
Gotcha. Oh, okay, we'll be right back right after this break. Stick around.
What do you call a kid who can dive like that? You call that kid a Cracker Jack. And what do you call a kid who gives the ball a whack? You call that kid a Cracker Jack. And what do you call a snack with a secret toy surprise in the back? Peanuts and popcorn that make your lips smack. It's caramel, go to Cracker Jack.
When you're really good, they call you Cracker Jack.
If there was anything in this show you'd like to learn more about, the show notes which accompany each episode are full of links to click and explore. Catch up on past episodes and get pinged every time a new one's released by subscribing wherever you listen to podcasts. And you know, iTunes reviews help more than you know, so if you haven't yet, please rate and review us in the iTunes app. And if you have a friend who isn't yet listening, why not? Tell them about us, they'll thank you later. You're our fourth listener, and we'd love to read your emails right here on the show, so hit us up at podcast@genxgrownup.com. And finally, Gen X Grown Up is more than just this podcast. Our YouTube channel has hundreds of videos ready for you to enjoy. Plus, you can find our entire body of work on genxgrownup.com. Well, as soon as we're done recording this, I've got to go out and find where I can get a new wacky wall walker to throw against my sliding glass door. But before we leave the show, I have to thank you, Will, for joining us for this backtrack, looking back on these things. Thank you so much for being here, man.
Oh, it's my absolute pleasure. It's always fun to go down memory lane.
You've been a great addition here for the show and helping us reminisce. I want you to tell everybody where they can find your show, The Adiots.
Oh, yeah, sure. It's... you can find us at our website, theadiotspod.com, which is 80ITS. It's a portmanteau of 80s and idiots, because the two of us that host this are not necessarily experts on anything, but we still every week endeavor to prove the 1980s was the best decade for pop culture. And our show is available on Apple, Spotify, Pandora, and anywhere podcasts can be found.
It sounds like you had that well rehearsed, and you've said that more than once before, so great. And it's a great show. I listen to The Adiots. Great. They have great guests all the time. They always have guests.
Oh, yeah.
Great stuff. We listened to one recently where you had Howard Scott Warshaw on, who wrote Yara's Revenge and E.T., one of the best and worst Atari games. Great stuff over at The 80s. You should absolutely check them out. Thanks again for being here, Will.
Thank you, guys.
Before we leave, we always like to take just a second here at the end to give our gratitude to the patrons who support us financially over on Patreon.com. And I'm talking to you guys. Tony, Stubaka, David, Greg, L, Travis, Shelby, Levi, Greg, Z, Ben, Adam, Butterspider, Chad, T2, Davis, Matt, Dana, Uno, Clay, Lee, Stian, Mark, Agile, Marcus, Jonathan H, Dan, Stu, Monkey, Slowmo, Arlem, Chet, Thomas, Mike, C, Blasiter, Stash, and Sean, Misso, Jason, and new, since we last spoke, Chris has joined us as a patron over at patreon.com. Thank you for joining us. If you would like to follow Chris's lead and join us, Mo, would you tell the fine fourth listeners how they can do that?
Sure. It's really, really easy. Just go to genxgrownup.com/Patreon, and it'll take you to the Patreon site. And there you kind of pick whatever level you're comfortable at. When you get to the little higher levels, we have a lot of behind the scenes and extra content that we like to give out. And then even higher levels, we have some swag. And also, I want to mention that we also have another way that you can help support us, and that's through YouTube memberships. And we like to personally thank all of those people. And we have Marcus, Blasted and Stash It, Ms. So, Mike B, Doc, Mike M, T2, Stubaka, and Mike C. So really want to thank them for taking a few bucks and helping support our channel through YouTube.
Means the world to us. Thanks, Mo, for that. We'll be back in 2 weeks with another Backtrack, but next week with a regular edition of our show. Until then, I am John. George, thank you so much for being here.
Yes, sir.
Mo, you know, I appreciate you, buddy.
Always fun, man.
Will, thanks again for being here and join us.
My pleasure.
We will talk to you next time. Bye-bye.
See you guys.
Take care, everybody.
Gen X Grown Up is a member of the Evergreen Podcast family. Learn more at evergreenpodcasts.com. No more washy shows till sunrise. Unacceptable for grown-ups. Your dinner cannot just be french fries.
Basically, life sucks as a grown-up. I don't remember.
He's like, good. Okay, no, please.
No, please.
No, please.
Somebody fucking talk.
Damn, all right, I'll talk.
So, good. I'm going to mute myself.
Shut up.
I'm muting myself.
I'm shutting up. Go ahead, go.
I'm Allison Holland, host of the Kennedy Dynasty podcast. Equipped with a microphone and a long-term fascination of the Kennedy family, I am joined by an incredible cast of experts, friends, and guests to take you on a fun, relaxed, yet informative journey through history and pop culture. From book references to fashion to philanthropy to our modern expectations of the presidency itself, you'll see that there is so much more to Kennedy than just JFK or conspiracy theories. Join me for the Kennedy Dynasty podcast.